Radio Prague News. Easter masses are being celebrated across the Czech Republic on Resurrection Sunday. Police in Opava are investigating an unsuccessful arson attack against the local Romani community. And Tomáš Berdych will face sixth seed Andy Roddick in the final of the Miami Masters on Sunday. Easter masses are being celebrated across the Czech Republic on Resurrection Sunday. The morning mass at St. Vitus Cathedral was led by Cardinal Miloslav Vlk, who told the congregation the resurrection was a time of hope and forgiveness. It is the last Easter mass celebrated by Cardinal Vlk, who will be retiring later this month and will hand over the office to the new Archbishop of Prague, Dominik Duka. Easter Monday is a public holiday in the Czech Republic, though that is generally reserved for pagan traditions and rituals linked to spring, the birth of new life and fertility. Police in Opava are investigating what appears to be an unsuccessful arson attack against the local Romani community. Two bottles containing unspecified liquid were thrown into an open doorway to a block of flats inhabited by Roma families. The bottles failed to catch fire, causing no damage. Their content is being analysed. The police are investigating the incident as a threat to public safety. A two-year-old girl remains in serious condition after nearly drowning in a garden pool on Saturday. Doctors say she is over the worst but remains in intensive care. The child had wandered away from her parents, who were with her in the garden when the accident happened. The pool had been left unprotected and police are investigating the case on suspicion of negligence. Animal rights activists are using Easter to draw attention to what they describe as atrocious conditions in intensive poultry farms. They have appealed to the public to either boycott eggs this Easter or buy them from organic farmers. The vast majority of eggs sold on the Czech market come from intensive poultry farms, where laying hens are held in small cages in which they are unable to spread their wings or walk. Of the estimated 5 million birds currently in breeding, only 0.1% are bred in natural conditions. And finally, sports. Czech Tomáš Berdych will face sixth seed Andy Roddick in the final of the Miami Masters on Sunday. Berdych booked a place in the final when he beat fifth-seeded Swede Robin Söderling 6-2, 6-2 on Friday. And a quick look at the weather forecast. The next few days should be overcast with scattered showers and day temperatures between 7 and 11 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the news.
Hi, this is Radio Prague, and I'm Ian Willoughby. Today, in Mailbox, we announce details of this year's Radio Prague annual competition and the answer to our latest monthly competition. After that, Jan Wellinger joins us because he has this week's letter from Prague. And in the last part of the program today, Christian Falvey introduces an all-new monthly feature called Science Journal. That's coming up shortly, but first here's Pavla Harakova with this week's Mailbox.
Hello and welcome to Mailbox. Before we get to your answers to our regular mystery person quiz, as every year at around this time, it is my pleasure to announce the annual listeners' contest organized by Radio Prague for the 10th time now. This year, the competition question is: which Czech writer or literary work do you like best and why? The person who sends the best answer, which will be chosen by a specially appointed jury, will win a week-long stay for two in Prague. There will also be prizes and souvenir items for runners-up. The best answers will be featured in our program and published on our website www.radio.cz on the last weekend of June. Entries should reach us by June the 15th, 2010, at the following address: Radio Prague, Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague 2, Czech Republic, or via email at cr@radio.cz. The main prize is being sponsored by Park Hotel Praha. Park Hotel Praha offers visitors a blend of comfort and history, quality and modern design, within easy reach of the city centre. We'll be looking forward to your inspiring entries. Now let's get to our monthly mystery person quiz. This is what Gautam Mandal from India wrote in his answer.
Dr. Jan Yesenius is the name of the mystery person of your March quiz. He performed an autopsy in 1600. He was a professor of anatomy at Charles University in Prague.
Mick Edwards writes from England.
I think the answer to this month's competition is Jan Jasinski. He was born in Wroclaw in 1566 and became professor and anatomical consultant for Rudolf II, King of Bohemia.
S.J. Agbula listens to us in Nigeria.
He is Dr. Jan Jasinius. He was a physician, a politician, a philosopher, an anatomist, a surgeon, a diplomat, and an orator. Though he lived a relatively short life of 55 years, he was able to make his lasting impression on the sand of time.
David Eldridge writes from the United Kingdom.
1600 was an eventful year for Yesenius as he moved to Prague, taking up a post as professor and anatomy consultant for the Bohemian king, Rudolf II. He performed the first public autopsy in the Czech lands, which received much interest at the time. Later, in 1617, he was elected rector of Charles University. He was also a political man and paid a price for that.
A fact explained by Colin Law from New Zealand.
After the dethroning of Ferdinand in Bohemia, Jasinski, who was an orator and a diplomat, became an ambassador for Frederick, a Calvinist and staunch Protestant, elected king in 1619. However, Frederick's army was defeated by the combined forces of the Holy Roman Emperor and the Catholic League on the 8th of November 1620 in the Battle of the White Mountain, or Bílá Hora. That marked the end of the involvement of Bohemia in the Thirty Years' War in Europe. Frederick was forced into exile, and Jasinski, who took part in the anti-Habsburg uprising, was among the 27 Bohemian noblemen executed on the 21st of June 1621 in the Old Town Square in Prague.
And Jayanta Chakrabarty from India concludes.
When you're able to mold a top-ranking physician, politician, philosopher, surgeon, diplomat, and an orator into a single entity, it takes the shape of a versatile genius known as Dr. Jan Jasinius. By sheer hard work, perseverance, and intelligence, this outstanding personality rose to the highest echelons of society. His first public autopsy in Central Europe contributed towards furthering the development of the study of anatomy at Prague's Charles University. He is also remembered for his monumental work Zoroaster, An Insight into the Lost Wisdom of the Ancients. However, being one of the leading firebrand figures of the Czech Protestant revolt against the Habsburgs, this brave soul was brutally extinguished at the age of 55.
This time the prize goes to Gautam Mandal from India. My congratulations and many thanks to everyone for taking part. Of course, I won't leave you without a new question, and this time we are looking for the name of the world-renowned tenor born in 1873 in the North Moravian town of Šumperk, who made it onto some of the world's most famous stages, including the Royal Opera House in London, the Vienna State Opera, or New York's Metropolitan Opera. We expect your answers by the end of April at english@radio.cz or Radio Prague 12099 Prague. In the meantime, please keep your comments and questions coming. Until next week, happy listening.
Thanks, Pavla. And if you're planning to take part in our annual competition, the best of luck. This is Radio Prague, and I'm Ian Willoughby. Now Jan Wellinger is here with this week's letter from Prague.
A couple of months ago, a Czech firm came up with an idea so wacky, when most people first heard of it, they thought it was something like an April Fool's joke. The company offers you the opportunity to send, no, not your loved ones, but your plush toy or toys to Prague. That's right, toys, stuffed animals, your Paddington Bear, your Pink Panther, or worn-out teddy from childhood who's never really ever left home. Now is his or her chance. The idea was so crazy, my first reaction was almost, I wish I'd thought of that. After all, it's often that the most unlikely of business ideas go on to see unexpected success. Obviously, there must be countless people out there who have always regretted not being able to send their favorite little buddy around the world, right? Now they can, at basic, medium, or premium rates, depending on the service. At the very least, you can have pics of your bunny or puppy or plush rat taken around the best sites in Prague, the castle, Charles Bridge, and so on, without you ever having to leave home. Plus, you get a certificate and, well, bragging rights in front of all your friends. Your Boo-Boo or Bobo or Mickey haven't been to Prague yet? Are you serious? Icky went last summer and loved it. He had a picnic in the historic center with other plush toys, aromatherapy, and he even spent a night in the Hilton, the very same suite that was used by U.S. President Barack Obama when he gave a famous speech in Prague. How many other stuffed animals can say that? Not many. Yours can be the first for miles and miles. Okay, let's face it, that's about all a plush toy owner can really get out of this, right? The bragging rights that they have the money to burn, or I don't understand. I mean, the owner doesn't get to go anywhere, they stay at home, and when their little chum gets back, they can't even tell them whether they had a good time. Or can they? I guess there is that little voice, yep, that squeaky little voice in your head that you made under the covers when you were alone when you were six. How was your stay? The cynics among us, of course, went straight to the lowest common denominator when discussing plush toy tourism. I'd send mine to a Czech pub, someone said, or a brothel off Wenceslas Square. But of course, the firm is offering visits only in good taste, only common sense. Imagine the debauchery that might otherwise ensue. But Teddy Bear can drink alcohol if you approve, and if he likes the stuff, but otherwise it's all very prim and proper, which somehow makes the whole thing even more decadent. Now, think about it. Right now, there could be hundreds of teddy bears getting ready to head over as we speak, in those specially packed boxes, safety and satisfaction guaranteed. Soon they'll descend on Prague, and you know what? Some of them may have a better experience than a number of, well, I don't think many, real-life tourists. Unlucky visitors who have been pickpocketed or robbed blind by a taxi driver, or gotten only sour looks from their waiter and cold rubbery goulash for lunch. Customer service, although incomparably better than a few years ago, and genuinely good or even great in some places, still is not what it should be in tourist traps. Well, that's what tourist traps are for and should be avoided. Instead, you should be living it up like Feathers the plush parrot, drinking Czech champagne on the Vltava. After all, he has no digestive tract and little more than fluff for a beak. At least you can smell and taste the stuff. I don't know. If you really, really want to, by all means, send your plush toys to Prague. It's a trip they'd never forget, if only they could remember. I want to see this business succeed, really. Why shouldn't it take off? Selling plots of land on the moon did. My only worry? How long will it be before some tourists send themselves here in a giant package inspired by a famous Velvet Underground song? Only this time they'd also be dressed in a full-body furry costume, giving those who find them a bit of a shock. A giant octopus like in Love Actually, or a homemade Garfield, who choked on a furball from his costume on his way to Prague.
Letter from Prague this week was by Jan Wellinger. By the way, tomorrow is Easter Monday, and we hope you can join us then for a special program. It's about the great Polish-born composer Frederick Chopin, born 200 years ago this year, and his links to the Czech lands. That's in Monday's program, but now in the final part of our show today, it's time for the first ever edition of an all-new Radio Prague feature, Science Journal with Christian Falvey.
This month in Science Journal, Czech robots not so different than Czechs themselves. They play football and they pour beer. And what's little looks like bamboo and eats up toxins and spits them out elsewhere. Welcome to Science Journal for April 2010. I'm Christian Falvey. What a piece of work is a robot, every year more noble in reason and infinite in faculties. You may be surprised to learn that the word robot actually comes from Czech via the early 20th century science fiction writer Karel Čapek. He chose the word for his play Rozum's Universal Robots because robota means hard work or drudgery in Czech. But the robots on our program today have other things than hard work on their wires. They play football, among other things, and the Czech team just suffered a stunning defeat to Slovakia, 9-0. Dr. Jiří Kocián studies robot control systems at the Technical University of Ostrava and was one of the coaches, I guess you could call them. So tell me, please, we were soundly defeated, the Czech Republic 9-0 to Slovakia. What's the problem? Do we need a new coach? Do we need to recruit new players? Do we need to get the robots on steroids? Or why did we lose?
There is no problem. We are using RoboSoccer like a testing platform for testing our results of our research. So the main aim is not to win. Main aim is to test our results. We have played on European Championships in Switzerland, in Austria, and we were 6 from 10 players, so it was quite good. But if we are comparing with Slovak, the Slovak are the best in Europe, so if we are playing together, there is no another chance than lose.
Of course, joking aside, what does football indicate about the performance of the robot?
The robots indicate that our system is working. So it means we are testing how to design and develop embedded system for robots, how to design controlling system, I mean whole control system, some advanced method how to control a group of robots. For example, agents and other technologies. The most important thing is real-time behavior. So all these things are most important than if we win or lose. Of course, we would like to win, but it is not the first aim.
What do these robots look like exactly? Obviously, they don't have feet and shin guards, not a standing two-meter android.
Robots are very small cubes. The size is approximately 8 per 8 centimeters from top view, and of course the maximum is also 8 centimeters, but most of players are smaller. So, for example, we have robots which height is 6 centimeters.
And I believe you have this contest every year, so how have the robots changed since last year?
We are playing for 2 or 3 years, and I have to say that the speed of robots has changed very dramatically. For example, we have started with about 20 frames per second. This is whole system response, and now we are playing with 100 frames per second. And also robots, we have started with 1.5 meters per second speed of robot on playground, and the best players are playing with 10 meters per second. So everything is much faster.
Now, not only do Czech robots play football, some of them can now bring you beer while you're watching it. In fact, they can find it, bring it to you, and pour it for you, thanks to a group of inventive students from Alois Jirásek High School in Litomyšl. They won the International Science and Engineering Fair in the U.S. city of Reno, Nevada, with a design that could do just that. Joining me in the studio is Marek Votroubek, one of the three who took part on that project. You're 19 years old, I believe.
Yeah.
And do you follow robot football?
Yeah, I watch it once, but it's not my cup of tea.
So your robot can find beer, it can bring the beer to you,
yeah,
and
it's
pour it.
Possible to automatically find an object which we predefine to the computer, and then the robot goes around a room or in some specific space and search for the object we want.
Okay, so it doesn't have to be just beer. It doesn't even have to be alcoholic. It could theoretically be anything.
The beer bottle is set because it's easy to find it. because it's a rotation object and it looks the same of all sides.
When I first heard about this, the image that came to mind was three students sitting around drinking beer, saying to themselves, oh, it would be great if we had a robot who could go and get the next beer for us. Is that how it worked, or how did you come up with this idea?
It's an idea of my friend's father, because he's interested in drinking beer, and he's got an idea to build something which can find a beer bottle. And it's also good because the beer bottle is easy to find. Yeah, the robot can find, for example, people. Yeah,
by their face.
By the face, yeah, by the face. But it's really difficult to calculate the shape. Yeah, and it takes a long time.
Okay, but it sounds amazing and it sounds funny. But I mean, what's the actual process of creating a robot like this, especially for a 19-year-old? Like, how did you go from idea to realization?
It starts, I think, 4 years ago when we were in USA and we saw some robot with six legs, and it cost around 60 or 70 thousand crowns. And when I returned home, we built that robot, and cost around 600 and 700 crowns only.
And 600 or 700 crowns.
Yeah, exactly. And there was a TV. They take some interview with us, also some newspapers. And that starts our career of building robots.
So that was before the beer robot?
Yeah, that's before.
So how does this robot actually work? Like, what are the components of it? How big is it?
It's 110 centimeters long, 60 centimeters wide, and it weighs 27 kilos.
And I imagine it cost you a little bit more than 600 or 700 crowns.
It costs 25,000 crowns, all of the chassis and all of the equipment.
What did the panel, the jury, say about your robot in Reno? What was their reaction to it?
They were really excited because they hadn't seen so big robot and so sophisticated robot. And they were surprised that students from ordinary high school create something difficult.
If you want to keep up with what young Marek Votrobek and his team are doing next, keep your eye on robots.glit, that's glit.cz. It's not all fun and games in Czech science, of course. There are new discoveries all the time, oftentimes thanks to the cutting-edge work of scientists at Brno's Masaryk University. What they've come up with now is a chemical compound that they've called bambusuril because of its bamboo-like appearance. The tube-shaped compound can pick up certain molecules into its hollow interior and release them elsewhere, which could be of great benefit to medicine and other industries. Joining me on the line from Masaryk University is Vladimír Šindelář, part of the team that created the compound. You've created this beautiful new word, bambusuril. What can you tell me about it? What is it exactly?
Okay, it's a small molecule which looks like a small tube. And because the shape is similar to the bamboo stem, so we call it bambusuril. The urea comes from urea because the building block is a basic building block for the synthesis of this microcycle is urea. So that's why the urea.
And as I understand it, it has quite a lot of potential uses.
Well, we kind of speculate about the use of the bamboo urea because we just prepare it and we study the properties of it. But we believe that it can be used in for medical use, in some analysis of food. And for example, in medicine, we can use it for construction of sensors, which can sense some kind of compound. For example, some diseases can be detected by increasing the content of sodium chloride in blood. So this bambus urea can just sense the concentration of sodium chloride in the blood and that's how we can say, okay, this man has this disease or not.
How long have you been working on this, and with whom? Is it only a Czech project?
Yes, that's our research group which developed this molecule. We start to think of about this molecule like five years ago, but really we working on it like two or three years.
And it's also not the kind of thing that you can expect to have finished at some point in the future, is it? You can always find, I assume, newer and newer uses.
Yes, that's why I hesitate to talk about future application, because it's possible that we find some new area where this bambus urea can be applied, but also we trying to modify the structure of bambus urea. So then based on how we can modify the structure, we can modify also the properties, and some other use can be found.
That was Vladimír Šindelář of Masaryk University in Brno. And that's all the science we have time for today. Thanks to all those who were able to join us for the program, and to you for listening. I hope you'll tune in to Science Journal this time next month.
Science Journal by Christian Falvey brings our program today to an end. As ever, we welcome all of your comments. Our email address is english@radio.cz, and the postal address, Vinohradská 12, that's Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague. We hope you can join us again soon. But for now, from me, Ian Willoughby, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thanks for listening and goodbye.